quoting the old thing, you never know what God will do, or whatever, you know. God's ways are past finding out. They are, unless he reveals them to you. Amen. And there was a day when God explained himself, and I think the rest of my books make more sense if you read this one. So thank you, darling, for that. So let's pray again as we find our Bibles. Father, as we open the Word of God today, we thank you so much that you're with us, you're in us, your Spirit is here right now to guide us, your angels have been given charge over us, and we thank you that this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're asking again, Father, just to open the eyes of our understanding today in Jesus' name. Now, I love this chapter, Mark chapter 4. You know what that is? It's not the Big Bang Theory. We don't agree with the Big Bang Theory. Yes, the earth was created in a Big Bang. It was when God said, "Let there be." Yeah. Yes, here we go. And this is Mark chapter 4. Now, the lead up to this was, you know, John the Baptist. Jesus came to him to be baptized. And the heaven was opened. The Spirit, like a dove, descended on him. He heard a voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son." Mark says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was out in the wilderness for 40 days. The other Gospels say he went to the wilderness to be tempted. Now, I know, lead us not into temptation. It's a different thing. He went out there to fight the devil. And when he came back, I like the way Matthew says it. Matthew says, "Those that dwelt in darkness have seen great light." Remember that? Those who lived under the shadow of death. This is Matthew chapter 4. Those that lived in the region of Naphtali and all that round the Lake of Galilee, they dwelt under the shadow and the region of death. Death there is a capital D. It's the power of the devil. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, cleansed the heavens. Woohoo! And so he came back preaching. Well, the Bible says, and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." I translate as, "God rules here now." Amen. And then he picked up his 12 disciples and he led them all around the Galilee region, and he was showing them and he was teaching miracles and preaching signs and wonders. Crowds were following him and they started to gather around him. He set up a home base at Capernaum near the Lake of Galilee, and he did some circuits from there. He went around teaching and preaching. He kept coming back. The first time he came to Capernaum, remember, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And, you know, we know from Luke that he opened up to the prophet Isaiah. But Mark says, "And in the church that day, there was a man with a demon, and he cried out, 'Ah!' And Jesus said to him, 'Keep quiet and come out.' And they said, 'What a word is this? For with power and authority, he commands the unclean spirits.' And to their amazement, they come out." Amen. And then that night when the sun was setting, signifying the end of the Sabbath, they went back to Peter's house where Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And they went up to Peter's mother-in-law and Jesus rebuked the fever and she came down and served them. Great story in itself. I used to think, man, what's with these boys making their sick mother-in-law not only receive visitors in their bedroom, but making her come down and cook lunch? Amen. But the truth was she had a serving gift. And so when Jesus came on the scene, he again rebuked the enemy, and the serving gift was released, and he wants to release every gift that's in the church today. So Jesus then went around on another circuit. He came back. This time it was heard that he was in the house. They put a hole in the roof. They let the man down on the stretcher. He got healed. Next time he was in Capernaum, he went into the synagogue. Big crowd, blockade was there. Couldn't get the guy who needed healing in except one guy with a withered hand. Jesus told him to stand up at the front. He probably thought, hey, hang on, why am I the object lesson? Jesus said, stand out the front. Then he said to him, stretch out your hand. And the Bible says Jesus looked around them at them with anger. He was grieved because of the hardness of their heart, because they were debating whether or not he should be healing on the Sabbath. So he withdrew from the synagogue. That would be a horrible prophetic word to bring to a church, wouldn't it? Jesus withdrew from the synagogue. Ooh, it's getting special emphasis today. And then Jesus started to go down by the lake. and the crowd started coming to him. And every time he went down by the lake, two or three times he went down there, and the crowds were pressing around. They were all getting healed. Demons were coming out. He was preaching to them a bit, teaching them a bit. The crowds are coming to him. And then finally, they got so many people, he said, get a boat ready. That's the third time he was there. He didn't get into the boat. The crowds are coming. And remember, it's not the Gold Coast. Amen. It's a fishing village in a big lake on a river. It's not a sandy beach. It's a smelly beach. Amen. It's rocks and stuff, and dirt and fishing nets and cleaning fish, etc. It's an interesting place. Crowds are there. But the fourth time, now you could say everything's coming now to a day when all of these people are finally getting to this place where their urgent needs are met, and now they're starting to get curious. How on earth are you doing this? Jesus was operating under the blessing. The power of God was moving. Everyone's getting healed. Everyone's getting touched. And now I can see God just about jumping off the throne saying, woohoo, this is the day. And Jesus is saying, is this the day? Yeah, this is the day. They're ready now. See, for thousands of years, people wanted a consistent move of God, but they didn't know how to access it consistently. And even in, you know, our New Testament days, people get touched sometimes and not other times. We want to know how this whole thing works. And so finally, Jesus got into the boat this time. The whole crowd is on the shore watching him. And then he looks to his father and goes, this is the day. Woohoo! This is the day God explained himself. Amen? And it's hidden in plain sight. We all think of it, oh, that's just a kid's parable. No, this is the most significant teaching by the world's greatest teacher, using the world's best technique with the greatest content ever. Jesus is God's apostle sent from heaven to bring to us a revelation of God and an understanding of his word. In fact, Jesus is the word of God. Who knows John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 or 4? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was the same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Such a powerful statement. So are you ready now for the day God explained himself in Mark chapter 4? It says, and again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching. That keeps coming in for emphasis. Now we note that when Jesus speaks to them in his teaching, who's ever heard of the law of first mention? First words. What's the first word preached in the New Testament? Repent. What's the first word Jesus preached? Repent. Interesting, isn't it? By the way, what does repent mean? In Greek, it means to think differently afterwards. It means to change your thinking or to change your mind. What did Paul say was the way to transform ourselves? I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, whole, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or the only logical thing to do. Don't be conformed anymore to this world, but be transformed by what? Changing your thinking. Ooh. Now, when Jesus starts this, the first word and the second word and not just throwaways to see if his voice is working. Amen? So what does it say there in verse 3? Jesus said to them in his teaching, verse 3, he said, listen, behold. Some of your Bible might say, hearken, behold. But it's two distinct Greek words, and it's not just a preposition like we do. Look, mate, you know how we say that. Look here. It doesn't mean that. It's two vital instructions for understanding how God functions. Now, let's just deal with another thing. Some people say, oh, but God is sovereign. If he wants to heal me, he can come and do it now, anytime he likes. Well, yes, God is sovereign. And by his sovereign will, he set up the system in a particular way. You can't reinvent God's system, amen? It's not going to change because we can think of what we think of as a better way to do it. God set up the system in his way, and now he's going to explain how to operate the system, but it starts with two instructions. Listen, look. In verse 9 he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That connects to the first instruction. Then I think it's about verse 3. 3, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. What are the two words? Listen, look. Now, the word translated here as take heed is a vitally important word for us to understand the way God's system functions. Take heed comes from a Greek word, blepo. Blepo. Now, I'm not real good at pronouncing Greek. I've got a Greek friend, and I said to him, how do you pronounce that? He goes, vlepo, vlepo. But I like blepo because it starts with B. Blepo. Now, in some Bibles, that's translated as be cautious about what you hear, or pay attention to what you hear, or be wise about what you hear. But what it actually means is look at what you hear. See, it's emphasizing every time I make a good point. Look at what you hear. Look at it. It's the same word Jesus used when he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He only does what he sees with his Father, what he blepos. Jesus said, I only do what I see with my Father. That's it. That's the key to the whole Christian life right there. Amen. We are supposed to listen to the Word of God and watch for what we see. It relates to the Old Testament. Remember, everything centers around Jesus. So the Old Testament, you've got to find it in Jesus. If you can't find it in Jesus, don't bother with the epistles on the Old Testament. Amen. Find it in Jesus, then you'll find the Holy Spirit amplifying it in the epistles or explaining and clarifying it from the Old Testament. But the Old Testament counterpart goes like this. Story. Moses is born, raised up in Pharaoh's house after he floats down the river and a thing. Comes up as Pharaoh's son. When he's 40 years old, he realizes he's a Hebrew, goes to rescue them, kills an Egyptian, buries him in the sand. Next day they said, who made you a ruler over us? He realized this thing is known. He ran into the wilderness where he married the daughter of a man called Midian. Obviously part of the Midianites. Where did they come from? After Abraham's wife Sarah died, he remarried a girl called Keturah, and she had a lot of children. One of them was called Midian. Just thought you'd like to know that. There's a teaching anointing in this place, you know that. And there's also a very good music anointing here. So I'm operating under that teaching anointing. I'll eventually get to it. But teachers just love things that are interesting. Anyway, I'll try to just keep on the track. Moses grows up, 40 years old. He runs to the wilderness, 80 years old, burning bush, stick, snake, leprous hand, in, out, fixed. Goes back to Pharaoh, 10 plagues. Pharaoh agrees. God changes Pharaoh's mind. He runs after them through the Red Sea. Pharaoh tries to go through. The whole of Pharaoh's thing is done there, completely wiped out. And then Moses has the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. In those 40 years, you know, they had the golden calf, he ground it up, put it in the water, and they drank it. He went back up the mountain, and he met with God, and God wrote down the Ten Commandments and gave him all the law, which he wrote in the first five books of the Bible. Amen. He came down, and his face was shining. He put a veil over because he knew it would fade off. And they'd all be saying, Moses ain't what he used to be. And then eventually Moses got old. He tried to go in the promised land, and God said, you're not going in because you got angry back there at the water when you struck the rock instead of talking to it. Moses, who typifies or personifies the law, the written word of God, could not take them to the promised land. Amen. That's a wild story, isn't it? A wild story. He hands over to a young guy called Joshua, which in Hebrew was the same word as Jesus, right? Jesus, what we say Jesus is the Greek or Roman verb Greek. So Joshua gets the job of taking over after Moses. How would you like that job? Burning bush, God coming down on the mountain, 10 plagues, split the Red Sea, manna from heaven for 40 years, water out of a rock, quails when you need them. Now you take over. Let's see what you can do. It's a daunting task, isn't it? Amen. But Moses had given them one thing. He had given them the written word of God. Amen? The written word of God. And this is what God told Joshua. Joshua, you're going to go somewhere and do something Moses couldn't do. How? How am I going to do that? And God say, gave him simple instructions. You will meditate in the word of God day and night. I love the King James because it says that you may observe to do. That you may observe to do. What does observe mean? See. So what does this New Testament word that Jesus used, take heed or phlebo. What's the counterpart? Meditate in the word of God day and night. See, take heed what you hear. Hear the word. Listen, look, meditate in the word of God until you see something. That's the instruction for us today. Meditate in God's word till you see something, till you see yourself in it, till you see yourself as it, till you see yourself with it, till you see yourself doing it. Amen? That's why I have my little saying I say everywhere I go. Eat the word, sleep the word, think the word, say the word, preach the word, pray the word, meditate on the word, learn the word, study the word, grow in the word, analyze it. You can analyze its rhetoric. You can analyze the history. You can do biological studies. You can do theme studies. You can study it by a book. The word of God, you can get it on a CD, an MP3. You can get it on a cassette. You can get it on an iPod, an iPad, an iPhone, and inside your eyelid. And you can even get it in a book. Amen. The word of God is God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the... And the word was with God, and the word was. Take the word of God, meditate in it day and night, and you will have good success. Everything you put the sole of your feet on is yours. Amen. Moses saw it from the mountain. He believed for it. Not Moses. Abraham saw it from the mountain. Moses wrote the word, but it was the one that meditated in the word that was able to go into the promised land. Man, I feel that this is no ordinary meeting here today. Amen. Let's have a look at the next verse, verse 24. I think we're in there. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear will more be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, when we read that, the one that has is going to get more, and the one that doesn't have is going to lose even what he's got. We could think, if we were trying to teach God how to do things, we would say, but God, that's not fair. And God's saying, it is fair because I've made this available to whosoever will. But he hid it in plain sight. Now, I just want to go back for a minute here to verse 10. Remember, he said to them, listen, look. He told the parable. And then he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then the crowd dispersed. And this is what the Bible says in verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. It's a key verse. Watch it. See what it says. Those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that... Let's unpack this. So Jesus finishes the teaching. Now, you probably know the parable of the sower. That's why I'm not reading it. Some fell by the wayside and the birds got it. Some fell where a stony ground had only a little bit of soil. That's why it sprang up quickly, but when the sun came up, it was scorched and it withered away. Some fell among thorns, which grew up and choked it, and it produced no fruit. Other fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Can you imagine there's some people there that day that are more interested in what so-and-so is wearing, where's who's sitting with such and such, whatever, it's gone completely over their head. There's somebody else sitting there going, yeah, I like this. I like this teacher with the, you know, whatever he had, long hair and a beard. I'm going home to tell my mum about it. Goes home and tells his mum, and mum says, you don't believe all that rubbish, do you? And his other kids mocked him a bit. He drops out. Somebody else is there going, yeah, it's all right today. I've seen it. This is the old farmer, right? He goes, today, he didn't realize he's listening to the best teacher or the greatest teacher with the greatest content using the greatest technique ever on the day God explained himself. He goes, this beats everything I ever saw. Today, I saw a carpenter sitting in a fishing boat talking about farming. If he had been talking about fishing, I could have listened. Even if he had been talking about carpentry, I would have taken notice. But why would a carpenter sit in a fishing boat talking about farming? I've got real farm work to do at my place. I've got to get home to feed the chooks, feed the goats, whatever they had, feed the dog. I've got weeds to pull out. And off he went. What did he get out of today's teaching? Nothing. What did the others get? Nothing. They got nothing. Yet they were sitting in the same meeting. Amen? You could say, week after week, looking around going, why have we got black rafters? Oh, I like that. Look at those speakers up there. Why is the roof slope like that? The wall, I mean. Why has the wall got that line across? See, you could be thinking about that. My dad used to fall asleep every week in church, and he blamed because he said they had green walls. And green walls put me to sleep. Amen. Now, we're on a good topic then. Here we go. This is what Jesus said. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to all those who are outside, or to the others, it says in different gospels. Now, which category do you want to be in? The ones who got to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, or the ones who are outside? I want to know. I want to understand what God's on about. Amen. So think about it. How did this day pan out? The crowd dispersed, but when it was all over, there's a group of people called those around him with the 12 who came back to Jesus, you might say, sat at his feet and said, explain it to me. And he said, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. It's not rocket science, is it? It's not complex. God is looking for people to populate heaven with. He's looking for those that will build relationship with him, those that want to sit at his feet. Remember Mary and Martha? Mary sat at his feet, and then Martha also was there, seems to be also there for a while, but then she got up and she was busy serving. And then later on, she comes to Jesus and prayed two naughty prayers. Lord, don't, she used the right word to start with, but you know what goes better with the word Lord as an introduction? Paul's prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because the word Lord implies you give the instructions and I do them. Amen? But she started with the right word, but she gave the instructions. Listen to what she said. Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to serve alone? You know what cares mean in Greek? Worry, anxiety, and mental pressure. Amen. Mammon's strategy is worry, anxiety, and mental pressure. It means to divide your thinking. What did James say about the double-minded man? Unstable in all his ways, he gets nothing from the Lord. Can you imagine coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, aren't you careful, full of care, worry and anxiety? Isn't your mind divided and anxious? Aren't you going to put yourself in a place where you'll receive nothing from God and be unstable? And Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Amen. And the other half of her prayer was, tell Mary to help me. Make my sister help me. You can't use Jesus as a big stick to get your will on other people. Amen. Stick with, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says things like this. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give when you're asked. Amen. When you're cursed, you bless. When you're persecuted, rejoice. Pray for them and run away if you can. Well, he says that. If they don't receive you in this town, wipe off the dust and go away. Amen. But if you can't get away and they put you in prison, don't stress over what you're going to say. God will give it to you in that moment. Amen. So Jesus is not going to care. He's not going to be anxious, because when he explained the parable, he says, I better explain it now. Are you ready? The sower sows the word. First he said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the parables? And without a parable spoke he not unto them. That's almost King James. So in other words, this is the key that unlocks all the parables. And the parables contain the mysteries of God's kingdom. It's right here. And it starts like this. The sower sows the word. Amen? It's the word that's where the power is. The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside or on the path. Remember, there's two paths. One is through a narrow gate. It's a constricted path, but it's the only way to life. The other path is broad. Maybe that's the one that's so trodden down, nothing will grow on it. Amen? These are they by on the path where the sower sows the word. It says, Satan comes immediately. A friend of mine said years ago, when we're first Christians, he said, me and my mates, we're going to go down to cemetery at midnight and confront the devil. I nearly laughed in his face. I thought to myself, well, what demons are going to be down there? Only unemployed ones. Demon's going to be doing in the cemetery? Maybe one spirit of fear hanging around there just to freak people out. No, I even used to play in pubs when we first became Christians. I remember walking in that Croxton Park Hotel one day. No one's in there except me and all the demons hanging around. And I said this, I said, every demon in the name of Jesus, leave here now. It was like a rush of mighty wind as they left. Amen. The demons down the pub are not hard. You know where the toughest demons we deal with are? It's exactly what Jesus said. When the sower sows the word, who's waiting to get it? This is where the great warfare is, amen? The devil's not worried about who's in politics, Labor or Liberal. Well, you know, God's a little bit concerned about some of those things that go on up there in Canberra. Hope I'm pointing in the right direction. Canberra. Everyone point to Canberra. I'm going with the pastor over that way somewhere. Yes. What was I talking? Anyway, so, yes, the sower sows the word. Satan comes immediately. Then he said, these are they who are sown on rocky soil, such as hear the word. But, you know, they grow up quickly. They receive it with joy. But you know what the problem is? They've got rocks in their heart. Their heart's not completely hard, but it's not completely soft. They receive the word in that says something like, my God shall supply your need. And they go, woohoo, God will meet my need, God will meet my need, God will. And then the roots try to grow down, but they hit this rocky part that says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And they go, I'm not doing that. Rocks in the heart. Amen. I want to be like you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I want to be like you, Lord. We'll turn the other cheek. I'm not doing that. Rocks in the heart. And these people, the word never produces anything because you've got to go all the way for a soft heart. Sometimes they've got a soft heart, but they don't have any defense against the lies of mammon, the work of the enemy. Amen? You can't serve God and mammon. Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? He says, don't be anxious. Take no thought with anxiety. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is the one trying to put all that anxiety in there. Amen? These are the six blessing blockers. There is the hard heart. There's the rocky place which has persecution and affliction. How many is that? I'm up to three. Then there's the cares of this life, ordinary everyday worry. Jesus says, do not worry. The Holy Spirit through Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, or the God of peace, will rule your hearts. Amen. You might say, man, if I had to pray about everything I'm worried about, I'd be praying for a long time, and God's going, great. I'm hungry for some fellowship with you. Come on. Amen. What did Jesus say? One thing is needed. Back to Mary and Martha. How many things? It's a hard word to take. One thing is needed. What was it? To sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his word. Be one of those around him with the 12 who gets to know the mystery of the kingdom. Amen. Wouldn't it be better that way? Wouldn't it be better to sit at his feet and actually get to know how to operate in this kingdom? Then when you need food, you just say, can of sardines, multiply into salmon, or whatever you need to eat. Amen? I found one little piece of communion biscuit left. That'll do. We'll just multiply that in the name of Jesus. Amen? See, what if it is true when the mark of the beast comes? What if it is true that you can't buy and sell without it? Wouldn't you like to be able to go, is there a river near here? Wouldn't it be nice to get in the creek and say, fish, every fish in the creek, come here now, jump in the bucket. Okay, got something to eat for tonight. Wouldn't that be a better way to live? We need to know how to do this. I've had to multiply the petrol in my tank once. You're looking at me like you want to hear that now. Once we had the old band truck, we drove up to Jindabyne to do a concert up there. And when it was finished, I don't trust my old map anymore. Thank God for Google. I looked on the map. And there was a big, thick green line going all the way from Jindabyne to Albury, instead of having to go back up to Yass and around that way, or over to Cooma and down through Cairn River. And I thought, that's a big, thick green line. That's supposed to be a major highway. I'm going home that way. And the old truck was pretty heavy on petrol, but I found out that we went right over Mount Kosciuszko. And you get so far and you can't go back now. You've got to keep going. The car that came with us, the driver, in a car, was so nervous and concerned, she had to get out to be sick on the side of the road because she was so concerned about damaging her car. And I've got the old truck full of band gear and I had to keep going. And then I know when it runs out of petrol. The gauge flicks for a while, then it stops, and I know it's out of petrol, you know. And the devil's going to me like this. He's saying, you're going to run out, 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 you're going to run out. So I had to overcome that. So I was singing every old chorus I could think of. The Lord is wonderful. The other band guys are looking at me in a truck and I'm singing. I haven't got time to talk to them. I'm fighting a very big battle here, commanding the fuel to multiply, speaking the word of God. And I kept driving until I got to Albury. It was a total miracle. And when I got to Albury, I went to the first servo. Too expensive. So I drove to the second one. Amen. And when I got there, I know it's a 100-litre tank, but it took 101 or 102 to fill it up. I know I was running on empty for a long time. Amen. We need to live like that. We need to not be freaked out by that. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Can I go 5 more minutes? Think about it. Now, Jesus gave 2 other very important parables. He said, the kingdom of God is like a merchant selling goodly pearls who finds one pearl of great price and goes and sells everything that he has and buys that pearl, right? When it says goes and sells, we think, oh, yeah, he gave some away, just went down to cash converters, dropped it all off there. No, it means he traveled the world using every skill he had as a merchant to liquid, you know, to make liquid all of his assets. He had to work really hard to set himself up in a position where he could buy that pearl. Amen? Then the other parable that goes with this, it says the kingdom of God, or heaven, is like a man who finds a treasure hidden in a field. And he too goes and sells all that he has to raise the money to buy the field. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. Rosanna and I were living at the Gold Coast. Apology for using ourselves as an example. Living at the Gold Coast, serving in the church up there. I was the Bible college principal, having a great time. But God kept saying, you've got to sit at my feet. Amen. We sold our house. We lived in borrowed houses, rented houses. It was horrible. I moved so many times because I knew this is not my destiny. I was living at the end in a big 2-story house there with a whole lot of other boarders who helped pay for the rent. We could see the high skyline of Surfers Paradise out the back window, the canals out the back with somebody else's boat. Looked really good, you know. Swimming pool out the back. And I thought, I'm living the dream of the average Aussie, but it's not my dream. Amen. And as soon as we could get free, we came down here, got our little place down there in Bacchus Marsh. But you know what we do now? Every day we sit at the feet of Jesus. I write books. We record music. We pray together. We read the Bible together. That to me is my pearl of great price. Amen. And occasionally the devil says, you're going to go broke. You're not going to have any money. And I say, oh, I'm not going to let that happen because this is the pearl of great price. It costs so much to get here. You've got no idea what we went through to get ourselves into this position. But now I can sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. It's the one thing that's needed. Okay, so the last 3 blessing blockers, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, which I've kind of covered, and the desire or the lust for other things coming in. Choke the word. Amen. See, it's the old thing. If you're too busy to sit at Jesus' feet, you are. Amen. Why? Because it's the one thing that's needed. I can prove that from another scripture. Remember the day they went, Jesus heard about John the Baptist. He said that the disciples come aside into a deserted place and rest. And then the people heard that he went out there and they dropped everything and they ran out to where he was. And he saw the multitudes. He had compassion on them. And they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to heal them and teach them. After 3 days, did you say 3 days? 3 days. You know, he multiplied bread and fish for them. But how come they're out there at a 3-day conference? Number one, they didn't pack any food. Number two, they rushed there without planning. You know what that means? No one's at home milking the goat, feeding the cat, looking after the dog. Amen. No one's at home doing all the tasks that have to be done. Were they irresponsible people? Jesus didn't stand up and say, you irresponsible lot. You've been out here for 3 days. You didn't even bring food for your kids. Looks like I'm going to have to cover this. Did he say that to them? No, because they had chosen the one thing that's needful. And they sat at Jesus' feet. And who took responsibility for their food? Jesus did. Woohoo! There's a revelation there for us. Now, let's go back to verse 24. Here it is. Take heed what you hear. Remember, don't just hear the word of God. Meditate on it. Take heed means to ponder, to revolve it in your mind. It means to see with the mind's eye, to meditate on God's word till you can see it, to revelation, which is another word for illumination, which has got to do with light. Amen. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you follow me, Jesus said, you will have the light of life. Life is speaking of relationship, and light is talking about the word, the revelation that comes from heaven. God gave us his Bible to get this light from, to get this revelation. Are you ready? This is God explaining himself finally, and he said this: with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Right? So when I first read this, I thought, the measure you use. How do you measure? Measure what? Then I looked at it and looked at it. I meditated on it, obviously. Then I realized it's the measure of taking heed and hearing. The measure of taking heed. But I thought, how do you measure that? Do you measure it by kilometers? Do you measure it by kilograms? Do you measure it by seconds and feet or liters? And I was meditating on this, and for some reason, a strange thought popped into my mind. Well, you measure diamonds by carats, which is weird, isn't it? But along with color and clarity, the carat is a measure of its value. And then I suddenly got it. This is about value. And then I remembered Psalm number 1. Who knows how to quote that? It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who sits not in the seat of the scornful, I think it is, and doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and sits not in the seat of the scornful, all right? So blessed is the man, skip that bit, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, or word, he meditates, how often? Day and night. Okay, go back a little bit. His delight. What does delight mean? That means he finds the word of God a valuable thing. There's your measure. It's the measure of value. The blessed man of Psalm 1 was blessed because he put so much value on the word of God that he meditated in it day and night. I believe God is challenging us all in this time. We might be used to doing a quiet time in the morning, or you might be one of those late night people that like to get into it at night, but we need to be doing it day and night. Remember, this is the one thing that's needful. One thing. Only one thing. Day and night. So it's the measure of value you put onto taking heed in God's word, or hearing the word, coming back to Jesus' feet and asking him to explain it. It's the measure of effort you put into that is the measure that God's kingdom stuff will work for you. Amen? Remember they said to Jesus, well, what is the work that God requires of us? This is John chapter 6. And he said, this is the work of God, that you might believe. Remember Hebrews, what's that, 4 or something? It says, labor therefore to enter into that rest. Faith takes work. Faith is a fight. Amen? It's the fight of faith. And in Hebrews 10, I got out of that faith is obedience. Faith is confession. It's bold confession of God's word. Faith is expectant of Jesus' return. And faith doesn't turn back. Amen. We are not of those that draw back to perdition. If we're not of them, we must be those that are expanding forward. Faith expands forward. Amen. Faith is in the word day and night. We meditate in that word. That's why I keep saying it. Eat the word, sleep the word, think the word, say the word, preach the word, pray the word, meditate on the word, study the word, listen to the word, sing it, shout it, say it and pray it. You can quote it, memorize it, stay in the word. You can study it by the book. You can study themes. You can do studies of personalities. You can compare the old with the new. But most of all, I want to encourage you, start with Jesus. He is the living word of God. He said the Holy Spirit will come to bring to your remembrance everything I said to you and to explain it. And that's what I believe we get in the epistles. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit focusing on Jesus, who is the preeminent one. Jesus is the living word of God. And when the living word of God rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and teach. Amen. The power is in the word of God. Have I preached enough now? Well, God bless you today. It's a nice little quiet church on the edge of town. Not right on the edge of town, right in the heart of town. Again, thanks for having us. We'll pray to conclude. But I want to encourage you today. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Eat the word, sleep the word, think the word, say the word, preach the word, pray the word. Right? The word, the word. The word of God is God. Someone once said, the measure of love we have for God is revealed in how much love we have for his word, amen, and obviously for him and his people. But we need the word. Amen. His words are life to all that find them, health to all their flesh. See, some people say, God won't let me down. No, the measure of healing will be the measure it works for you. Amen. Yeah, why doesn't God bless me like he's blessing brother so-and-so? The measure you use is the measure it will work for you. Amen. Well, how come such-and-such got a brand new car and I didn't? I've been driving the same old rust bucket for 40 years. The measure you use is the measure it will work for you. Don't compare with others. Don't get into that. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, and meditate in the word of God until you get revelation. Amen. And when that revelation comes, woohoo! Faith comes by hearing. It'll help renew your mind. It's the sword of the Spirit. Amen. It's got life. It's got life for you. And when that comes, then you can say, faith that I receive, the gift of faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't need any further evidence. Amen. I've got the living word of God inside my heart. You may have an argument, but I've got a revelation. And now nothing is impossible with me because it's the living word, etc., etc. Right, moving on. Father, we thank you so much today for the word of God. And Father, I just pray again for every one of us that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we could begin to move into the realm where Jesus lived, and he only did what he saw with his Father. Lord, we get some of it, but we want to get it all going in that direction. We want to speak only that which we hear from you too. We want to imitate what we see with you. It goes on to say, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. Father, today we're praying that you would pour revelation, that you would open your heart right into our spirits, Father, that your revelation would flow to us from this day forward in greater and greater measures until we are unstoppable, irresistible, a force that cannot be overcome in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't been born again, we're going to say the prayer right now. Amen. Let's all say this prayer. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I apologize for everything I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Please come into my life, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Savior. I confess you are my Lord. I want to follow you as my shepherd. I want to be born again. I want my name in your book. And I'm asking in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless. Thanks a lot for listening. Over and out.
Wow. Woohoo. Bless God. Wow, that is pretty amazing. That's a smorgasbord of everything compacted into such an amazing message on faith and God's word. And I know that there's going to be so much of that if you trust God and meditate on his word, that God, the Holy Spirit, will bring back to your remembrance what you've learned. Amen? We have to believe God for that, because you cannot absorb and remember all of that in one sitting, so you've got the Holy Spirit to continue with it. Amen. We've had a smorgasbord here. We're going to have lunch together, and that will be pretty awesome. I would love to ask you to spend a bit of time saying hello to Dave and Rosanna, get to know them. We will have them back. There's no question about that. While I was sitting here, I know I was talking to Dave, Jenny, and to Darren earlier. The church is going to buy some of the resource books out there and have them available in our resource material, but I felt that this is a challenge. How many families have we got here? Quite a few, especially teenagers. I want you to come up to Dave and Rosanna afterwards, and this is the church's gift to them. We will pay for a CD or a book of their choice, okay? And that's something that I think we need to bless each other with, and I believe we can bless you with. So if there's something out there that you feel that God's spoken to you about out there, and there's some music for your kids especially or whatever, love that music. I said to Lek on the front, so I wish Jared was here. We love this stuff. But I believe it's not only something that will bless you, but bless Dave and Rosanna. If you buy any extras as well, great. But the church will also be a contributor towards those resources for your home to take with you. We will also bless them as part of their ministry here today.